This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. This year marks the 50th anniversary of The Muppet Show, the variety TV program created by beloved puppeteer Jim Henson. Since The Muppets' debut, several actors have been tapped to bring life and give voice to iconic Muppet characters, including Kermit the Frog. This golden anniversary is being recognized with the Disney Plus special that premieres February 4th. What you may not realize is that the principal actor for Kermit the Frog on screen and stage is a Webster University alum named Matt Vogel. The multi-character puppeteer also serves as an executive producer for The Muppet Show special alongside fellow actor and comedian Seth Rogen. Matt Vogel joined St. Louis on the Air in May of 2023. He was in town to give the commencement speech at Webster University, and he shared how he came to play Kermit among other beloved Muppets, as well as Sesame Street's Big Bird. I started our conversation by asking Matt about his work as Big Bird and what it's like to play a classic character in today's setting versus the world that greeted Big Bird when first introduced back in 1969.
Well, I think that Big Bird's worldview has always been the same. Even back in the early days of Sesame Street, he is kind of he's the everyman, he's the every child, the every bird of Sesame Street, so that a child hopefully sees themselves in him. Mm-hmm. He is kind, he always sees the best in everybody, no matter what. And he does have ups and downs, but he's just always optimistic. And it doesn't matter whether it was 1973 or, 2023. Mm-hmm. And I do think, speaking of the heavier issues that we do have and we do try to present on Sesame Street, Sesame Street is uniquely positioned, I believe, to be able to bring up these issues in a way that is easily understandable for kids who are watching and their parents. Because it's already known as a safe place to get information. Mm-hmm.
So, and how do you think it does that?
Well, it does that through the different research. We have curriculum and we have a lot of outreach programs that we do. And some of those outreach programs that we do are social impact initiatives. They range from incarceration to military families to food insecurity, divorce, and of course our racial equity initiatives as well. Mm-hmm. And so while there might be characters that are specific to that, sometimes we do address that on our main show as well. And we do that by just including new characters into our mix of those classic characters in an attempt to let anybody see themselves in these characters. Mm-hmm. They can identify whether they are, where they might be from, what their background might be. They might see themselves, which is a unique and it's really unique to this program.
Yeah,
I think.
And it's a show or program ostensibly for kids, but it is effectively for everyone.
Yes. Absolutely.
Now, your Big Bird character, performs in skits on late night television or other entertainment that is geared toward adults and adult humor. And one of those was with Michelle Obama on Funny or Die with Billy Eichner. And you ended up slow dancing with the former First Lady and then literally running around New York City asking unsuspecting folks very random, often nonsensical questions. What part of that whole experience felt like classic Bird, and what was your Bird?
Oh, well, how do I answer that question? So first and foremost, Big Bird was originated by Carol Spinney, who was a mentor, who was a friend of mine, who picked me for this job because, among other things, my last name, Vogel, means Bird, right? So he did pick me. I think I had a little foot in the door because of that, but that character, Big Bird, was really, really Carol, who he was as a person. Mm-hmm. And I was the understudy for many, many years before actually taking on the mantle of being Big Bird. And in those years since taking on the mantle, it is inevitable, if I am doing my job correctly, for a Muppet performer, that a little bit of who I am bleeds into that character.
Sure.
And becomes part of who the evolution of that character is. Otherwise, they remain stagnant and they remain just an imitation mm-hmm. of who you hear or who you think that character is. So all Muppet performers do try to put a little bit of themselves. It may not even try it. It just kind of happens.
Right, right.
And if we're doing it right, it seems like the classic and the current should blend together nicely. Mm-hmm. And you hopefully don't really notice very much.
Is there a part of you, though, that you can kind of identify as being something that you have brought to this character that that Carol did not?
Yes. Yes. I mean, I think so. Carol, for example, and obviously I loved Carol. He may not have been as strong musically, for example. Well, I'm probably stronger musically. However, Carol roller skated as Big Bird. I can barely walk as Big Bird. But I don't roller skate as Big Bird.
Right,
he could ride a unicycle. I can't do that. He was brilliant. He was so great. And he was, and you know, I think there are things, of course, there are things that I bring to him, but it's hard for me to identify what that is in the moment because I'm always trying to remain true to the heart of Big Bird, who is that optimistic, wide-eyed six-year-old, mm-hmm. you know?
For that Funny and Die, that segment, mm-hmm. did slow dancing with Michelle Obama as Bird mean that you sweated less or more in the suit?
I don't know. You know, I had met Michelle Obama before, and she had come to Sesame Street, and I met her there, and of course she was wonderful. And then a little bit later on, when we were on the Billy Eichner, Billy on the Street bit, and I met her there, she came up as if she had known me forever. Now, I am aware that they must have people that are like, and the person that's playing Big Bird
right.
is Matt Vogel. And but she came up as if I was a longtime friend, and I felt instantly comfortable with her. And of course, Billy and I had spent the day together doing all this other stuff, and he was wonderful. So it was really a very comfortable, I felt very comfortable, even though I was aware I was dancing with, the
former
first lady. You know, it was insane.
Well, and I think it's an interesting point that it was like she knew you, mm-hmm. but we do know Big Bird in a very special sort of way. Kermit the Frog is another iconic character you play, and he's the one who's more mature. In fact, in my research, I found that Kermit turned 72 just this past Tuesday. Now, like Big Bird, Kermit's taken you all over the place, including live events at venues filled with thousands of people. And case in point, in 2019, you took the stage at the historic Newport Folk Festival in Rhode Island and performed Rainbow Connection. Mm-hmm. Whose idea was that?
I believe that was Jay Sweet at the Newport Folk Festival who came up with that idea, and he reached out to the Muppet Studio, and it was going to be a collaboration. Kermit was going to come out and sing with Jim James and an all-star lineup of band members, and it just happened to work out beautifully. And but it was all Jay Sweet, by my recollection, who asked us, and he's kind of in charge of the Newport Folk Festival. I would go back in a minute. It was so much fun.
And I went and checked the 2019 lineup to see if I could see Kermit anywhere, mm-hmm. and I did not.
He was a surprise. He was a big surprise. So nobody knew. And what was fun is that when you're doing a live show like that, we are not particularly precious about whether you see me or not, because inevitably the frog is going to be what you look at.
Right, right.
And if you want to look at me singing, go ahead. But the puppet is really the thing that people are going to, their eyes are going to be fixated on.
Right, right. What was it like to perform at such an iconic music event? And was it different from other times you've performed for a mostly adult audience?
Well, okay. I really do hold a special place in my heart for the Newport Folk Festival. It was such a unique experience. Everybody there just was so relaxed and so kind and so just there to really have fun, mm-hmm. That was the whole vibe of the entire weekend that I was there. Now, I've played the Hollywood Bowl to 18,000 people, mm-hmm. and that was a little bit more nerve-wracking, but not because of the audience. They were fantastic, and they loved it. That was more of like a, do we know what we're doing here?
Yeah, you
know, it just kind of felt a little bit different. But each of these places are different and unique individual places. We just did the coronation concert in London with Miss Piggy and Kermit the Frog.
Oh, okay.
And that was insane.
Okay.
It was insane. I was sitting in the royal box on my tush, 12 feet from the King of England and the Queen of England and the Prince and the Prince. You know, they were all, you know, in a line there. And there's this me coming in with a frog on my arm and laying down on the floor. And all of them were so curious, looking over. What's this guy doing? What's he doing? You know, and to get a smile from Camilla was pretty cool.
Well, I mean, Muppet royalty, basically, is what we're looking at.
That's right.
Now, you performed Rainbow Connection again as Kermit the Frog and from his swamp in early 2020 at the beginning of the pandemic. It was uploaded to YouTube and social media and received millions of views, 6.4 million.
Wow, I didn't know that.
On YouTube alone.
Wow.
So many songs about rainbows and what's on the other side. Rainbows are visions, but only illusions, and rainbows have nothing to hide. So we've been told, and some choose to believe it. I know they're wrong, wait and see. Someday we'll find it, the rainbow connection, the lovers, the dreamers, and me.
And you are hearing Kermit the Frog, and Matt Vogel, who's our guest today, the voice actor and puppeteer behind Kermit, and also behind Big Bird, Count Von Count, Count on Sesame Street, among various other things. Now, that song means a lot to a lot of people of many ages, of all ages, myself included. Did you foresee that video being so popular?
No. I didn't. I didn't know that there'd been that many views on it, like you said, 6 million something. But the intention of that video, it was right at the beginning of the pandemic. And I just reached out to the Muppet Studio and said, I'd love to be able to just kind of just go and sing this song and just have it be just a moment of calmness and sweetness, really.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, yes, absolutely, go do it. And so my wife, she shot it. My two sons helped me because he's in the video. He's playing the banjo. So my two older sons, 22 and 20, they helped me. Their names aren't 22 and 20,
okay,
by the way. Their names are Jack and Hunter. But they helped me puppeteer Kermit.
Right.
And, you know, it just felt like that was the thing that I needed to do. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that the Muppet Studio allowed me.
Well, that bit of background is, it also makes it even more meaningful, you know, that you were doing that with your family.
Mm-hmm.
How did it feel? I mean, how does it feel? You were surprised by the number. To know that your Kermit was a source of such comfort to people across the world.
Yeah, that's the magical thing about the Muppets, I think. I think that when people see themselves in these characters, or they see somebody that they know in these characters, and it brings to them hopefully a smile to their face first and foremost, and secondarily, you know, hopefully it touches your heart in some way. And that's what the goal is anytime we're doing something. You know, it's that thing that Kermit said, I just want to make millions of people happy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the Muppet Studio goal is. That's what we want to do on Sesame Street every day, is to reach out and touch people and make them very happy that they've had this connection with these characters.
Mm-hmm. You were talking earlier about bringing more music to Big Bird. Mm. And you've had iconic mentors coming up, not only Carol Spinney, who performed as Big Bird and Oscar the Grouch.
Yes.
But also, you know, the original Count Von Count, Jerry Nelson. Mm-hmm. In what ways does their guidance in performing these iconic characters show up in the way that you do them? And then what more specifics can you give about the twists that you have added over time?
So, yes, Jerry and Carol, both mentors, and they're both the touchstone for me of these characters, beyond just the actual puppet, right? Knowing those gentlemen and observing how they played those characters is the set aside like the hours and hours and hours of videos that I could look on YouTube for or wherever. You know, those are all great to have, and I do refer to those, and I do go back to those even now just to refresh and to just keep in mind the seed of the character. But knowing Carol and knowing Jerry, who was such a musical guy and he was such a great guy. And knowing him and how musical he was as a person, just on his own, he played, you know, he played guitar in a band up in Cape Cod, which is where he lived most of the time. He was the guy. He was the go-to guy on the Muppet Show if they had a musical number that was going to be performed by somebody that wasn't, you know, Kermit, Fozzie, Miss Piggy, Gonzo.
Okay,
he would be we kind of call them like one-off characters. There would be just somebody that would come in and sing a song. And oftentimes paired with Louise Gold, who was another Muppet performer, and they would sing these amazing songs. Mm-hmm. And him being so musical, he also just had this. He just had this. He was the coolest man in the room. He was the coolest person in the room. Always, Jerry was.
Yeah.
And so I want to bring a little bit of that to my Floyd, who's the bass player for the Electric Mayhem, and. I just try to emulate in some way my impression of Jerry and how Jerry performed those characters. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah, you know, it does.
I want to be truthful to Jerry's performances, but again, like I said, it's kind of inevitable that a piece of me is going to be put into that character. So the music of Floyd, for example, he's a guy that talks like this, you know, he's just this cool dude. And the music of how he talks is very very different from how I speak, but I hear Jerry in my head, and I try to hear how he might say it, but I don't try to be completely beholden to it. So I will say things differently, just because of what the line might be written as, and try to like infuse the line with a musicality that. With every line that Floyd says, but it's not like I'm singing notes, but it's the notes of, you know, hey, here we are. Wow, look at this place. You know, like just to, like the ability to like go up and down in my voice is how I hear Jerry in my head and how he talked as Floyd.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry himself didn't talk like that, but Floyd did, you know.
So when you're switching between characters, mm-hmm. is it primarily an aural image in the mind, or are you seeing something?
Sometimes there are triggers. There are vocal triggers. So with Big Bird, there's a vocal trigger that I do. That's
hello there.
I'll do like I'll get into his voice sometime, especially if I haven't done them for a while. I'll
find a vocal trigger. Hello there,
because that's how I hear Carol say hello there as Big Bird.
Right, right.
You know, and then Kermit's a different thing. So, I just hear the word yeah. I'll say the word yeah.
Okay.
Floyd, I just go into. I don't know why. there's other ones like Uncle Deadly. I'll just, he's this very, you know, he's a very, he's a lot to say. He's very loquacious and has a lot of just, he's a little pompous and also
smarmy.
Kind of, he's very smarmy. And so I just make some sort of vocalization that kind of gets me into it. But those triggers help a lot.
Yeah.
So it's more of an, I guess it is aural, but, but I do, yeah, I just need those triggers. And the puppet helps too, because the puppet looks a certain way.
Right.
And that also helps feed, especially if you're doing a new character. If you have a character that you're doing that has never been performed by anybody before, the visual a lot of times is the telltale of how he's going to sound. And then secondarily, it would be, to me, I think, are the lines.
Mm-hmm. Now, as if you don't do enough, you have a podcast called Below the Frame.
That's right.
With Matt Vogel.
Yes.
Both first and last name.
Well, if I just put the Below the Frame with Matt, people
right,
would be like,
right.
Well, who's
this
guy?
Matt?
Yeah, you know?
And you interview fellow puppeteers and other Disney and Sesame Street professionals you've worked with throughout your career. What inspired the idea of starting that? And what is it that you want audiences to glean from it?
Well, once again, that was a product of the pandemic. I started that because I missed my friends and speaking to my friends. And I thought, you know what? I should do just a podcast with them. And to, one step before that, we did a Facebook Live show at from Sesame Street called Below the Frame. And one of the other Muppet performers, Stephanie DeBruzzo, helped me produce that. And it was a live thing. We would do it. So we would shoot in the morning. We would have lunch. And we did it once a week for a while. And we would have like a 30-minute lunch. And then the second half hour of our lunch, we would do a live Facebook feed and do some of the things that we ended up doing on the podcast. But I had to kind of retrofit the podcast to just be this listening experience.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to talk about such a visual medium, you know, when you can't see it in a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we managed. I really think we did a great job. The idea was I missed my friends and I wanted to talk to them. And this became a way of connecting with them. And then it also became like a historical document for how these Muppet performers came to be who they are on the show, or whether they're a director or a writer or whatever they might be doing. It's a historical document, on who they are and how they got there.
Yeah.
And then at the same time, we'll do little ads that people in the puppet community would understand, like an ad for arm rods. So puppets that don't have live hands, they have rods that help us control their hands, and or like a right-hand assistant or just ridiculous things like that. And it was a lot of fun to do. My son, Jack, helped me out with that every once in a while as well.
In this final minute, you're a proud graduate of Webster University's Conservatory. You're going to be delivering the commencement speech. The mascot is Gorlock, completely made up, debuted in 84.
Yes.
Mashup of animal characteristics.
Right.
So,
and I think it's where the intersection of Gore and Lockwood meet. And they were like, well, I'm going to have a Gorlock. That's what sort of thing.
So what's the voice you would use?
If I were to do it, well, I was handed a picture beforehand. Maya handed me a picture, so I'm looking at it, and I'm going, well, okay. Anish, I think what it wants to sound like is kind of like this. I'm a Gorlock. That's me.
Okay.
But I think it's actually this. I'm a Gorlock.
That was Matt Vogel, TV producer, actor, and puppeteer for Kermit the Frog, Big Bird, and several other beloved characters. The Muppet Show returns for its 50th anniversary on Disney Plus, February 4th.
This episode was produced by Maya Norfleet.
Our audio engineer is Aaron Dorr. This podcast was mixed and edited by Aaron.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.